Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and Friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Well, gentlemen, good morning. Mike Iosa, your host for my music guest, my very good friend, Mr. Peter Lydis. Hi, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Ike. How about you?
I'm doing well, Peter. I was really looking forward to speak with you today. You are probably the best market historian I know of. And we are right now at the so-called positive season of the year. And I have to admit, over the last 33 years that I have been in the business, betting against positive seasonality has not paid off unless we were in a bear market. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts going forward because we have lots of conflicting things going on.
Talk about market historian. I like to think I'm a pretty good market historian. I guess it depends on exactly what you look at. I mean, people look at different things than I do. If they're looking at fundamentals throughout market history, then they're going to lose me completely. But if they look at things that I look at, like technical indicators and cyclic phenomena, then I like to think that I have a pretty good grasp as to how things have taken place, not just over the last 20 or 30 years, but going back, you know, probably 70, 80, 90, 100 years, just looking at market history. Here's where we stand right now, Ike, and I don't remember if I've talked to you about this before. It has been incredibly important, and when you talk about market history, this particular ratio that I'm going to tell you about, we have at least 40, close to 50 years of history on. It's a very simplistic ratio. And I would contend that it measures speculation in the market and overextensions in the market. All you do is simply divide the NASDAQ 100, the NDX, by the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Now, there's a lot of different ratios you can use. The reason I like this one is because it has an excellent consistency of extremes. And by that, I mean, over the last 40 years, going all the way back to, let's say, the mid to late 80s, the only times in market history over those 40 years where that ratio of the NDX divided by the DJIA has reached 45% has been at very important market tops. Now, it hasn't happened too often. And before I go any further and tell you a little bit about the history, let me tell you that as you and I speak today, that ratio is at 0.452. So it's above 45%. It was there again yesterday and today. Now, with that in mind, let me go back and tell you, and again, remember, we're talking about 40 years of market history. Most of the time, that ratio is nowhere near those levels, that ratio. In fact, I'll give you an idea where it has lived for most of the time. If we go back, my data begins, that's because the NDX begins, in October of 85. And at that time, if you divided the NDX by the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you would be getting a ratio of around 8 to 9%.
Okay.
And throughout the mid to late 80s, that ratio, the low ratio prior to, or I should say, right after the crash, was 7.0, which would indicate a complete lack of speculation. And once again, in October of 90, it went down to 7%. So those marked the two lows, 7% NDX divided by Dow. And then the way it works, ever so slowly as confidence builds, that ratio very slowly starts to go up. In 1992, it reached a level of around 11%. And in the mid-90s, in 93, 94, 95, 95 reached a new high, it got up to 12.5%, 13%. Okay, and follow me forward with this now, because I think it's important. as we got into the later 90s, especially after 98, 99, in late 1998, we reached a ratio of 17%. You can see it's now climbing. And going into 1999, that ratio got up to 23%. Then all of a sudden, like from magic out of the sky, in October of 1999, when the ratio at 24%, and I've read you the complete history of it going back to 85, where it was 7%, very slowly climbing to 24%. Between October of 1999 and March of 2000, period of 5 months, that ratio accelerated crazily and got up to 45-46%. And that occurred, and I'll give you the dates on this. I'm looking at my data as I'm talking to you, so I'll zoom in here and give you the dates exactly when the first time we saw a 45% ratio. Okay, the first time it got above it was on March 8th of 2000. That date might sound familiar to you, Ike, because I know you're a good historian. March 8th of 2000, and it remained above that 45% level for 3 or 4 days. March 8th, 9th, 10th, and the 13th, that was it. So in the year 2000, after the greatest speculative binge in the history of markets, when doctors and lawyers were quitting their profession because it was so easy to make money in the stock market, that ratio had moved dramatically from 25% the year before up to 45% for just 3 days, 4 days in the year 2000. What happened after that? Well, let me say, first of all, the Yandex actually didn't top until a couple of weeks after that on March, I think March 27th was the closing high, but only a little bit higher. It went a couple of percent higher between those readings and the final high. So that on March 27th, there was a closing high on the NDX. And from that closing high on March 27th, down to the low in October of 02, the NDX declined around 85%. But let me follow the ratio with you. I'll try not to take too long on this, but I think it's relatively important. After that incredible reading in 2000 in March, the ratio started slowly coming down again. And by the end of 2000, it had already gotten down to 20% from that reading of 45%. So it was more than cut in half by the end of 2000. But then, continuously into the market bottom of October of 02, that ratio slowly came down again. Now, it never got down to the 7% again. The low readings in the 02 bottom were around 10 or 11%. I think the lowest reading I see scanning through quickly is 10 and a fraction percent. Okay, so almost back to those lows after the 1982 bottom. And then it's fascinating again. We follow that history forward. And if you follow in 02, 03, finally start to see pretty big rallies and the ratio started increasing again, got up to 14% in 04, got up to the end of 04, about 15%. And January of 06, it got up to 16%. And I'm following it across now as we come into 07. That was interesting because you would think at the top in 07 that you might approach that 45% reading. No, you didn't get anywhere near it. The highest reading that we saw in 07 was about 17%. Okay? And in the big bear market that followed, it went from 17, it wasn't a dramatic decline, it went from 17 down to about 13%. Okay, now it becomes important because now confidence started slowly building from that 09 bottom again and starting to follow it forward from that 09 low, around the 13% level. In 2010, we got up to 18%, 2011, I'm not going to go through the year for you here, so I don't want to take too long. But here's the dramatic thing again. 2017, 18, and 19, the high readings are still around, only around 14, 15, 16%. And coming into 2019, it had gotten up to just about 30%. And it hit 30% a couple of times, 2018 and 2019. And then here's where the little magic started to happen again. In September of 2019, it bottomed around the 28, 29% level. And let me read you how what it did from there. That was September of 19. By March of 20, at that peak that we reached, February of 20, March of 20, it started getting up to around the 30, 35, 37% level. And then we got all the way up to about 43, 44% into 19, I'm 100 years off, into 2021. So then that's when the magic happened, actually, from October of 19 with a ratio of around 29% up until, let's say August of 20, when it got up to 42%. Then the final move that brought it up to 45% took place from May of 21 to November of 21. And by November of 21, that magic level that I talked about, let me tell you, in the first day that the ratio got above 45%. It got above 45% on November 4th of 21. That was about 2 weeks before the NDX all-time high. And then it came down a little bit. And then from November 15th of 21 through the end of the year, in December 15th, maybe December 20th of 21, it remained above 45% that whole 3 or 4 weeks. But mind you, the top was seen on November 19th, and it never got any higher. All it did, it remained at that 45% ratio level, but went absolutely nowhere but sideways. Take some time, maybe later on your listeners, if they're technicians, go back and look at a chart and see what happened on the NDX from the November 19th all-time high into the final high around December 31st. The ratio for almost all that time was above 45%. But once it reached 45%, the upside potential was completely negligible, almost nothing further to the upside. So now we don't have a great history, and we don't have something you might call statistically relevant or significant, but it's at least interesting that both times that we saw very important tops in the NDX, the ratio of NDX to Dow reached 45%. Well, follow with me now here. The end of December of 21, and then we started declining with the decline in the market. By the time the end of 2022 had come along, you got down to around the 32% level. Now, 32% on a relative basis of the last 40 years is still very high. It's still indicating quite a bit of speculation, but not the final excess speculation that one would see or one has seen in the past 40 years. So guess what, from that low of around 32 at the end of December, the march began to the upside again. And for the first time since the all-time highs of 2021, the NDX to Dow ratio reached 45%, my magical number, on July 13th of 2023. That was 3 days before the high of the year this year on July 18th. And it only remained about 45% for 1, 2, 3, 4 days. Actually 5 days, from July 13th to July 19th. Just as we were forming the highs for the year. And I must admit that at that point, because of the experience of 2000 and 2021, I thought that we might see a very dramatic decline begin from there. Well, we saw a decline begin from there. We came into a low on August 18th, and we had another rally up into the beginning of September. Did not get up to 45%. The highest ratio we saw was around, well, 44.7 or 8. But still, 45 is the magic number. It came down again and rallied again into a 45% reading for 2 days on October 11th and October 10th, right at the secondary high for the NDX. And then we came down to a lowest reading we've seen in the last couple of months, 43%, 43.0. When you get to these levels, you really got to add the fractions after the percent, because the mixture is very, very small. So now I can tell you, after I've given you that long, and I hope not boring history, yesterday we were at the 45% intraday for quite a bit of the day. And now, as you and I speak, Ike, the ratio is exactly 0.4524. And that's my story. I know it's a long one, but try and explain it away for me if you think it's not important. Now, I've had some of my subscribers, in fact, have written to me and said, oh, you know, it's not that important. And when we had that decline into October of last year, the ratio at 32% came down to a long-term trend line. And the gentleman who wrote me said, I don't think we'll ever break that trend line again. Technology is so much more important to the market, the economy, and to all our lives, that we'll never break below 32% again. And so 45% is not a benchmark reading. That's what I was told by a subscriber.
Okay.
Well, I said, let's see. As we say in Greek, θα δούμε. We'll see.
I'm going to share a story, you know, with you. And the story was told to me by our late friend, Kennedy Gamut. In 1974, Kenny was a portfolio manager for a bank in San Diego. The bank was managing funds for wealthy clients. And in the late summer of 1974, the investment committee, which was made up of all the portfolio managers and an executive VP, was holding a meeting in order to discuss what the strategy was going to be for the rest of the year. And all the portfolio managers were to voice their ideas. Kenny's single best idea was to sell Procter & Gamble, because the bank held Procter & Gamble stock in all of the accounts of clients. And he thought that the clients were overexposed to Procter & Gamble. The chairman of the committee, in an angry manner, told Kenny, Mr. Gamut, we never sell Procter & Gamble. So over the next few months, Procter & Gamble lost about 40% of its value. My point is, I believe today people are just as exposed to a few stocks as they were back in the 70s. And I believe those stocks, such as Microsoft, will underperform over the next few years. The NDX is dominated by seven stocks. Seven stocks make 30%, 33% of it, something like that, okay?
Yeah, well, first of all, explain that these are the 100 of the most highly capitalized and probably most speculative stocks in the whole NASDAQ composite. That's the NASDAQ 100. Now you talk about your seven stocks within the NASDAQ.
Yes, yes. And just yesterday, I read an article about Microsoft, which could very well be the present Procter & Gamble. And just like back then, Procter & Gamble, you know, could do no wrong. The article said, and it was printed by Bloomberg, and I'm going to read it to you, When it comes to what you want to see, Microsoft checks the most boxes and checks them the most emphatically. My personal opinion is that it is ludicrous and delusional to believe that there is going to be an economic slowdown and tech companies will be unaffected. It has never happened in the past. About 80% of all US mutual funds own Microsoft. Apple and Microsoft are the most owned stocks. When everybody agrees on something, usually it works out the other way.
I agree.
Anyway, something else I want to ask you. Last week, we saw a big drop in the number of bears among AAII surveys. I know you follow sentiment pretty closely. When you see such a big drop in bear sentiment, usually that is close to a top.
Yeah, I noticed that, and it's very, very interesting. Not only that, now, when you and I spoke before we started talking online here, I told you that there were some potentially contradictory technical things occurring. Let me tell you a couple of the things that I read over the past couple of days from people whose work that I respect that are somewhat troubling to the bearish case. I just read them here on the X Twitter, which is now called X, of course, in deference to Mr. Musk. Okay, here's one of them. The granddaddy of bread thrusts generated a new buy signal.
The Zweig thrust, right?
I believe it is, yeah. Zweig's. They don't mention Zweig, but I read someone else say that it was Zweig's bread thrust.
Yeah.
The granddaddy of bread thrust generated a new buy signal at the close of trading on November 3rd of 23. What does history suggest for the outlook after stocks after similar signals? And then it gives you a link to go to find out. And I think you and I both know that the long history of that has been quite bullish.
Yes, yes.
So then two items after that, here's what I read. This is from Jason Gepford. There have been two times in the past 40 years, that's interesting because I gave you the history of my ratio for 40 years. There have been two times in the past 40 years when the S&P 500 rose for seven straight days following a 100-day low. The first was on March 20th of 2003. It marked the end of that bear market. The other time was today. That was 2 days ago.
Very interesting.
So that's a little troubling, but you know, when I see things like that, in my younger days, I would start going through my data and combing through it and seeing if there were anything that I could notice as differentiating and saying, okay, but this time a little bit different. Now, one of the things that I noticed was the advanced decline line. We indeed did have seven consecutive up days, but guess what, Ike? And I think you might know this. The bottom occurred on October 27th. I'm looking at the AD line. It was up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. The last 2 days of that streak on the S&P, which is what they were talking about, were actually down.
Yes.
And the AD line over the next 4 days gave back almost 50% of that complete rise in the 5 days it went up. The averages and indexes haven't done that, but the AD line did that. And now today, there's a slightly positive AD line as you and I are speaking. It's 1690 to, I think, 1102. So 17 to 11 ratio. It's not even 2 to 1. And it doesn't get anywhere near where we were 4 or 5 days ago, where the AD line topped and the next 2 days came down as the market kept going up. So there were so many interesting technical factors that are taking place.
With regards to the Zweig thrust, and also the same thing goes for when you get a buy signal from the McLellan oscillator, when it goes from minus 100 to plus over 100 in 10 days.
Okay.
In both cases, what I have noticed is that following that initial thrust, breadth holds steady. it doesn't give up much ground.
Yeah, the breath, in other words, the breath maintains its
yes.
strength well apart.
Yes,
they pull back.
Yeah, exactly. You have to look at the whole picture. I'm not disputing the signal. You have to respect it.
But it shouldn't be the other way around.
Exactly.
You shouldn't see the AD line pull back for 4 or 5 days while the market holds up.
Yes, I repeat. You have to respect the signal, but you got to be pretty cautious here because there's something else going on that is not in sync with what we have seen following similar signals in the past.
Yeah, I agree with you. And plus, remember what I just spent 10 minutes going over, as that was happening, it got us back to the 45% level again. I don't think you're going to find a breadth thrust in history that saw us anywhere near this level of speculation as measured by the ratio of NDX to Dow. So for it to be happening now, at a time when the ratio is historically high, let me explain the one thing that I really like about this NDX to Dow ratio, Ike, and that's the fact that there is a consistency of extremes. If you did that same ratio on the utilities, and I tried it out on the utilities because I said, hey, the NDX is probably one of the most speculative indexes, and the utilities is probably one of the least speculative, most conservative indexes, right? So I said, let's take a look at the utilities. Well, the same thing happened ratio-wise in terms of very high readings at very important market tops, but there was no consistency of extreme readings. But there wasn't a consistency of overextension. And in fact, the ratio of NDX to utilities just went to a new all-time high in the past couple of days. So if you want to look at just those extremes, you can say, okay, the problem with that is big deal. Why can't we just keep going to more higher and higher extremes, you know? Whereas that's not the case with the NDX to Dow ratio. It's proven itself over the last quarter century that once you get to 45%, you better look out, because that's been an excellent marker of very important market types. Now, could that equation change? Of course it could. We have unfortunately, no sure things in the market. But if you want to be consistent and follow consistent indicators, then that ratio is telling us right now that the market is at a very speculative extreme. By the way, I think I asked you this once before. Do you ever talk to John Usman?
I've known him and I have followed his work religiously since the mid-90s, but I haven't spoken to him in quite some time.
Okay. I if you can get a hold of him, I would highly recommend you speak to him, because John wrote, and you probably know that John has a reputation of, he's called a permabeer.
Which is not true.
I know it's not true, but a lot of people believe that. I've been called a permabear, so is Prechter, so have some of the other guys that whose names have become very well known over the past 30 or 40 years. Husband is not a permabear. In fact, he made one of the great market calls in history back in November of 2021 when he wrote a special report saying that he's always very cautious with what he says and how he says it. He said, this is not a market call. I don't want you to think I'm trying to call the market top or, call that I'm making a market call. But today, he said, I have more indications of historic overextension in the market than I have ever had before in my 100 years of history. That happened to have been published on exactly November 18th or 19th of 2021 at the exact all-time high of the NDX. The reason I bring that up is because Husband, around a week or two ago, exclaimed on his Twitter thing, if you want to look at it or your listeners want to look at it, just look up just go to Twitter, or what is now called X, and look up John Huspin, and you'll see his thoughts over the past couple of weeks. Around a week ago, on the beginning of October, he said, this is one of the three most overvalued markets I have ever calculated in 100 years of history. The other one was 1929, and the other one was 2000. This is the third one.
Peter, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think I've said it all. We have to let the market talk now.
Peter, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Great to talk to you as usual.